That temporarily today, but I think something's very, very, very important about Pentecost Sunday, and I wanted to address it because without Pentecost, and Pentecost was when the Holy Spirit was released in us. You know, before Jesus died and rose again, the Holy Spirit didn't dwell inside of humanity. No one. The grace of God was in the world because that's what kept us all going, but the Holy Spirit residing in this flesh didn't exist before that day. And you know, it's interesting when you look about it. I love this Bible verse. You guys will see it in a second. I've been talking about relationships and results. Daniel had been talking about that. And I like that because you know what? Are you satisfied with the results in your life? In every area? If you're not, there's a real simple, it's so simple you think it's not powerful. Take it to the relationship you have with God. If there's something going on in your life that you're not satisfied with, go to your Maker. Go to the Creator. Go to the source of life. Go to the power that fills us all. The reason we have this wonderful world we live in right now and this beautiful building and soft chairs and air conditioning and lights and everything and an overhead projector that's working, the reason's because of the Holy Spirit. He works through humanity. I believe every invention that's ever been came from Him. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And it's interesting, we're talking about relationship and results, and the Holy Spirit is the key. The Holy Spirit in you. Colossians 2:20. It's Christ. Christ is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's the Messiah, the anointed ones. That's all that means. Jesus was Jesus. He was born of a virgin. He was born of the flesh, but He was anointed by the Holy Spirit from the inside out. And all the miracles we saw and all the things you hope for and everything you dream of, to me it's unbelievable. You know, the Bible's the most published and read book in the history of the world. Like, you talk about a self-help manual that's never gone away. The latest food fad, I'm old enough, I've gone through a lot of food fads. I mean, I don't do them personally. I eat what I want to. But in the world, there's all these fads about food, and every food fad promises you health, wealth, and prosperity. Every health food fad promises you joy. Every fad tells you something. And I don't care what you're in. I've never been a good salesman because I have a hard time telling you that jogging will change your life. I mean, jogging will make you physically healthier, maybe, unless you have bad knees. But it ain't going to give you joy. It's not going to change your life. It's not going to heal the rift, the brokenness between you and your dad or you and your spouse. It's not going to break the rift and heal the fathers and sons. You know, it's one of the promises Jesus, the Bible said, children will be restored to their fathers. And if you look at any news media today, you know what they're saying? Well, the children, there's so many children in our world today that have abandoned their parents. You know, that's the devil. That's darkness working. And Jesus said He came to restore that relationship. So who are you going to trust? You going to trust what you see? You going to trust what the experts in the world say? Or are you going to trust what the Word of God says? Guys, there's something about us, and I want to know this. And you know, so I've been going after the Lord pastoring for 42 years, 43 years this year. 43 years. And I'm like, God, what it makes the difference in our lives? I know it's Jesus. I know it is. But how come so many Christians? Okay, I'll show y'all a Bible verse. Oh, let's watch this. This is fun.
Who was actually from that city. And Epaphras had recently visited Paul in
Now, I'm going to skip that. You know, when you look at Ephesus, Colossians, the book, little letter of Colossians Paul wrote, when you look at that, something went on in those people, and the scripture tells us that they had never met Paul. Now, he didn't go there. Matter of fact, he was in prison, and he wrote them this letter. But you know what it says in the letter is, Paul had talked to Epaphras, and he had told him about the secret of life. And Epaphras went to Colossae, and he told them what Paul had told him. And the very essence of the book of Colossians that we're getting to is one thing. It's about the resurrection, and it's about Pentecost. You know what makes a difference in my life and your life? It's the Holy Spirit being released when we believe and the power of the Holy Spirit comes out of our lives. You know, Harvey, our 84, is he 84? I forget how old he is. He's so old, I've forgotten. But, he's in Oklahoma this weekend teaching in Poto, Oklahoma at a church, teaching them how to pray for the sick. You know why he's there doing that? Because thousands of people have been touched and healed through Harvey's teaching and his praying for them. He teaches people to believe in who Jesus is in them. You know that's all you have to do? Do you believe in who Jesus is in you? Like, did you know that everything Jesus had, you have through the power of the Holy Spirit? You have wisdom, you have peace, you have joy. And so when you read this, so I look at this, and I love that verse, but it's such a condemning, it's not condemning, that's not a good word. It's a challenging verse. Like, I can do. Focus on that. Can do. You know what can do is? It's can do. I can do. That's the opposite of not. I'm not good enough, or I can't, or I know. It's the opposite of that. How many times have you felt like you weren't able? Not being able is the opposite of can do. How many times have you made excuses for yourself and backed out and away from things because you know you can't do that, you can't do that? Well, guess what the Bible says? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's the baptized, that's the Holy Spirit, not Jesus the man. This is Jesus the Messiah, the Christ. And through Him, His strength, you can do everything. You see, but what about the facts? I mean, Colin, Alan, are you stupid? You fail sometimes. Like y'all saw me, I failed this morning. I forgot three things this morning. And I've decided that every time I forget something, you know what I do? I go talk to the Lord. And it doesn't matter if He makes me remember or not. It's always good when you talk to Him. And I feel okay. I'm okay. Well, aren't you embarrassed that you did? You've been pastoring 43 years and you forgot your computer and your microphone and the batteries were dead on it. I mean, how many more things can you do wrong in one morning? You know, no, I can do. Well, how do you know you can do? You just didn't do. Well, I don't believe what I do determines the truth. You know, that's the world we live in. We want to create our own truth. And you know what? They do. You know, the world has created truth for every one of us, guys. And you know what the truth is? You're not enough. You're wrong. You're not good enough. You're dirty. You've gone too far. That's the world's truth. The world's truth is, well, you're not as smart as they are, or you don't have as much as they do. You're just, that's all you are. You're just nothing. That's the world's truth for us, guys. And you know what Jesus said 2,000 years ago? The best-selling author in the history of the world. He said, you can do all things through Christ. And what he's talking about is the Holy Spirit's anointing in your life. Like Harvey's just a businessman. That's all he was. That's all he was. And the Holy Spirit came inside of Harvey. And one day Harvey said, you know what? The Bible says I can pray for people and they'll get healed. I think I'll try that. And the first time he did it, he was shaking. He was so scared. He went down to, I think it was Guatemala, actually. He went down into Guatemala, and somebody was preaching at a service in a little village. I mean, you know, there's not 100 people in this building, and they're poor natives, Indians. Like, they're like the Indian natives, not Mexican natives. And this, they asked him, because, you know, he was an elder, a deacon in his church, his Baptist church. They asked him if he would stand up, pray up front and pray for the sick. And Harvey couldn't say no. I mean, he's the American Christian that's supposed to do everything. So Harvey stands up there and he said, I'm just praying. God, not, no, just a cold. How about a cold, God? And said he looked, and there's walking up the aisle towards him is this lady, and she's literally bent over double. She's malformed and deformed, and it's just unbelievable, totally crippled. And Harvey's like, oh, God, I do believe, but help my unbelief right now, because I don't believe. He'd never seen anybody healed before. He just knew the Spirit said, Harvey, you can do this. Guys, there's stuff in your life today you need to can do. Maybe you're just like Harvey and just like me. You're like, you know, God, the facts are I've never healed anybody. The facts are I am this. The facts are I did that. These are the facts, God. But you say that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You say that I'm holy. You say that I have authority, that I'm seated in heaven at the right hand of God. You know, if you're seated at the right hand of God, guess who you are? You're the boss. Like, you're the boss. Well, I'm not the boss. Will you take a chance and believe? You see, we keep going back to what we do or what we haven't done, and we keep making that the basis of our truth, and that's not a good foundation. You know what the world thinks changes every 30 minutes. Literally. It used to be every 10 years. Well, now it's like faster. Well, I'm not a good dad. I'm not a good mom. Do you know how I raised my children? I was hard. I was mean. I was a drunk. I was a drug addict. I was. You know, Jesus said that he died on the cross, and he said, and you died with me, and you're no longer who you were. You're a new creation in me. Amen. There's nobody in this room who's not a new creation. Right. And I want to read this verse, and so that verse bothers me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is there anybody in this room, guys? I mean, really, think about it. I want you to think. Is there anything in your life that you actually need the supernatural power of God in your life so you can do? You know, God promises you joy. Do you have it? He promises you peace. You got peace? He promises you a foundation and provision. It's like we sang those songs with gusto. Do you worry about your finances? Do you worry about eating? Do you worry about making the house payment? And are you worried? You see, the can-do takes away worry and anxiety and stress and guilt and shame. That's all from the devil. And you and I, God's challenging us to believe. Now, you know, guess what happened to Harvey? y'all heard him tell this story. I've heard him tell it 57 times in the last 20 years, so I've got it. That lady's walking up. He's sweating bullets. He's got on a suit because he really is sweating in Guatemala. There's no air conditioning. He's sweating bullets. And he said before the lady gets to him, she starts going, and I mean, he said it's like noisy. And she stands up straight and she is totally healed. And it was all because of Harvey's great faith. No. He just decided to believe. Guys, God wants you to have the can do that you need. Jesus died so you can do. And it all depends on the baptism, the fullness, and the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And I think, and Rick reminded us, we don't talk about this much. That you see, I'll read you another verse. I didn't write this down. Acts 2:17. Now, God's can do by God's design impacts the world through you, through me. People that have skin. You have skin. If you're here, you got skin. Or it'd be really gross. You can, because he just needs our skin. And this morning, he wants you to leave here with your can-do on the way. Now, I don't know when it'll happen, but I know he said this is true. And I believe him for every one of us. I really do. So Acts 2:17. It will be in the last days, says God, and you need to know this, contrary to what those people that talk on media and stuff say, when Jesus was on earth, he said, this is the last days. And I know we've got theology that says the last days is somewhere off in the future. Jesus said, we're in the last days. We've been in them for 2,000 years. Now, guess what happens in the last days? The devil's worst nightmare. Now, when Jesus was on earth, that was really bad for the devil, right? He went around and did unbelievable things, undoing what the devil did. He even raised the dead. Well, here's what the Bible says. In the last days, says God. So you can put a period on this one. This is what God said. Not even one of those lowly disciple people. This was God. It wasn't even Jesus the Son. It was God. That we don't think that way. I'm like, we need to think about that. God said this, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Acts 2:17. Do you know any people who aren't a people? Is there anyone in this room who's not a people? I mean, you may have a service dog or something, right? Or like I had a little girl one time, she brought her pet mouse to church in her pocket. When her mama found out, it was funny. She was not happy. If you don't have a mouse, every one of us in here, God has already poured his spirit out on us. Now, we've made baptism of the Holy Spirit a really hard, difficult thing. Personally, it took me 8 years of wanting to, because I saw the difference in someone's life who believed and believed that the Spirit was working in them. I saw the difference in their life. I married her. And Jeannie, she was a Baptist, but she didn't tell anybody, but she spoke in tongues, and she did all that other stuff, and she had seen all these miracles, and she was still walking in miracles. And I knew, but they didn't know. I don't think you made me not tell, but you might have. They didn't know, like she was president of this Southern Baptist College thing, spiritual world, and they didn't know she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, the problem is they don't know that they're filled with the Holy Spirit too. They just don't believe. Guys, today, if you're not experiencing the supernatural power in your God in your life, today you can choose to believe that the God of the universe lives in you, the Holy Spirit. And that power you need comes from Him. And then you're going to start walking in the supernatural, walking on water, raising the dead, healing the sick, preaching to the poor. You're going to find peace when other people are upset. You're going to find joy when there's no physical reason for joy, like the Apostle Paul. You know, the dude was in prison. I mean, that's a pretty good picture of what prison. Actually, they didn't have windows in their prisons. I don't know who drew that window, but they didn't have windows in the Roman prisons. It was horrible. And Paul sits there and writes and all these letters about joy. And he's thinking about the people he's never met in Colossae. And he said, I pray for you all the time. I pray for you all the time. I pray for you all the time. Paul, you should be praying for yourself. You're in jail. He said, oh, you don't think this controls me. I live in a spirit realm that these walls and these chains, they don't control the way I feel. Guys, you and me will let some stranger on the highway control how we feel. We'll let some little baby that keeps crying and can't sleep at night and it has, what's that thing when their tummy's hurt? Colic. Yeah, it's a devil. Colic's a devil. My kids never had colic, so I don't know. But you know what? That's the truth. Colic's not the devil. And the power of God inside of you, Mom, inside of you, Dad, is stronger than colic. The power of God inside of you is greater than the lack of sleep you're dealing with. The power of God inside of you is greater than poverty. It's greater than sickness. It's greater than disease. But you have to choose to believe. You know, I love this. I'm not going to get to Colossians today because we're going to do this. We're going to take time this morning. And if you're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, just like I wasn't for 8 years, and I'm serious, Jeannie didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know I just needed to believe. I just thought I had to try harder. Y'all ever thought that about yourself and your walk with Christ? Just try harder. Do more. I'm going to embarrass Jeannie, but one time we're in our house. We lived in a little mobile home, 12 foot wide, you know, mobile home. It had no air conditioning. Actually, it did have air conditioning. It just didn't matter. And we're in Forest City, Arkansas. I'm going to graduate school in Memphis, Baptist Seminary. And I'm wanting so much because I know I don't have that. And I know because I didn't have the power of God. I wasn't walking in miracles and signs and wonders. I was fighting hard for everything I had. And I remember going in that trailer one time and I said, Jeannie, I can't stand it. I have to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. That was all I knew. That's what we called it. I'm like, I can't stand not having the power of God that Jesus gave me. He died for you to have this. And he already gave. I never read this verse. I don't know how I missed this verse. Acts 2:17. Read it in any version of the Bible you want. He said, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. I already had it. I just wasn't unlocking it. I wasn't turning. It's like having hot water, but you don't know. The only faucet you know to turn on is the cold water one. So you spend your whole life taking cold showers. And all you had to do is turn it on. Well, and so one day, This is, you know, those 12-foot wide trailers, the bedrooms are really small, and they're it's hot. And I go in there, I said, you know what, we're going to do it. I said, and so I don't know why we did it. We went back into the back bedroom for some reason. And I said, okay, do it. I didn't know what it was. She didn't know what it was. I just said, do it to me. I have to have this. And she said, okay. And so she started thinking, I may jack this up, but this is my memory. This is how I remember it. She said, okay, start praying out loud. I said, okay. And I'm like, I just start praying. She said, well, pray louder. Okay, Jesus, I want it. Jesus. Then she said, well, pray faster. Jesus. And she said, well, get on your knees. And I'm sweating. And I'm trying so hard to get filled with something God had already filled me with. So I remember that day after, I don't know how long we were in there, seems like a while, and I was young back then, I could go pretty hard, you know, and I'm like, oh God, this is like, I give up. So I finally quit. I said, you know what, there you go. So it was about 4 or 5 years later after that, and you know, it's funny, you know what she would do to me? She likes to talk. And you guys, y'all pray together, right? Everybody prays together. You should. It'd be good if you did. We prayed together, which was always real uncomfortable for me because my family, we didn't talk. We never prayed together. And so I'm doing that. But I'm always exhausted at night. And she's always talkative. I don't know if y'all, any of you got that difference in your lives. It's a tough difference. And so I'm like, we're going to bed. We go to bed. And every night I pray. And you have to do it out loud. So she prays and prays and prays and prays and prays. And I'm laying horizontal. And there's something about, some of you men are like this. As soon as you go horizontal, his lights are out, baby. There could be a monster at the door. And I'd be like, wake me up in the morning. Matter of fact, I told her that once. Somebody's breaking in our house. I said, listen, if they're not standing right here, don't wake me up. Unless I can see them, do not wake me up again. And some nights I'd fall asleep while I'm praying out loud, and it sounded like tongues. And of course, she would be like, oh, you did it. And I'm like, did what? What? Oh, no, I was just asleep. I didn't do it. That probably happened 10 times. I remember I was like, that's embarrassing. Then one day I relaxed. One day I just said, God, I believe you. And I'm going to trust you with this thing I've been trying to make happen in my own strength. And my presence of God came in me. And I started seeing miracles. And I started casting out demons. And I started living in a power that wasn't me. And I became this amazing organized preacher y'all see up here today. Who doesn't care, because it's not about being organized or being lucid, but talking. There's a word for that. I just can't think of it. Be a good speaker. It's about that. Keep your mind set on things above, not on things of the earth. Whatever's good, whatever's holy, whatever's pure, think on those things. You know what? Paul goes to Colossae. He didn't even go there. He writes them a letter. And in his letter, he recognized that thing. And I do love this. I love this about his letter. He said, guys, I keep praying for y'all, and I'm so thankful for you guys. Ever since you heard, when we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, you know why that happened? Look, pay attention in the scripture when you see the word because of. That means he's telling you this is connected with that. Because of. And he said, because of your hope in Jesus, you know what Epaphras had taught them? Guys, Jesus has done everything you're trying to do. He's already done it. Jesus has already paid for your sin. Jesus has already set your captives free. Jesus has already provided for every one of you. Do you believe it? And they believed it. And because they believed it, something happened. And you know, it's funny when you read that, it's when you believe it, when the gospel, the truth came to you, when somebody told you that you, Jesus has already died for you, Jesus has already filled the whole world with everyone, all of you with the Spirit, when you believe that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that you're seated with Him, do you know who you're sitting beside? I mean, I know Shelby's sitting by Tyler, but the rest of you are sitting by a son of God that has authority, that's seated in heaven on a throne. Thrones have one purpose, and that's to rule. And you and I are sitting here worried about the rulers in this lower kingdom, this earth thing we live in. We're worried about our bosses. We're worried about the president or the not president, whoever. And it's like, wait a second, you are seated on a throne in heaven. They aren't. Do you believe it? You know what happens when you start believing this stuff? I put it in bold because it's so big. It is constantly bearing. Every time you believe in the power of what Jesus did and what He said, somehow we put it all on us. I look at me. That's how I judge everything. And it's not true. It's about Him. He died for you. He saved you. He called you. He knew you before you were born. He is in charge of your sanctification, your growth, your maturity. He's in charge of everything about you. Who do you think you are thinking that you're in charge? I said that with sarcasm, but it's really true. I thought I was in charge of getting filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm like, in 8 years I tried. I'm that stubborn. I'll try that long on something. I'll kill it dead before I give up on it. Guys, I'm telling you, when you believe it, it's going to bear fruit. And the fruit is from Him. The harvest is from Him. So today, that's what we want to do. I know this is Pentecost Sunday. We didn't focus on it a lot, but it's the most important thing, like what Jesus did. You become a new creation, and it's all His doing. It's not because you're trying hard. Maybe you need to give up trying. And Jesus created the Sabbath, the day of rest. And guys, we were created with a new covenant. We don't work for it anymore. You know, I know I didn't print these verses out, but I want to challenge you to this. You know, Jesus, Jesus, you know, it's Alan, is everything about Jesus? Aren't you a little Jesus happy? Yeah. Do you believe too much in Jesus? Yeah. Is anything greater than him? No. Well, he's waiting on you. No. Guys, I'm telling you, you can't think too much of him. And the more you believe in him, guess what happens to you? You start to see it. You know, the people around Jesus, when he was doing all those miracles, he told them, he said, guys, you do not leave Jerusalem, he said. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. But wait for the gift. Not the salary, not the what you earned or what you deserve, the gift. He said, wait for the gift the Father promised. Do not leave Jerusalem. What was so important that they weren't even supposed to leave? And you know, I never really thought about this, but this morning as I was praying, God said, you know, Jerusalem was where they killed Christians. They had just crucified Jesus a month before that. And he's telling them to stay there in that city that killed their Lord. And not, it's so important. You need to stay here. Don't go anywhere until you receive the gift the Father's promised. I tell you how important this is. If I were you, I would be stubborn. And if it's going to take you 8 years, don't do it this way. But I wouldn't leave here today without receiving the gift that you already have. It's like turning on that hot water faucet and start enjoying hot showers and not just cold ones. God's calling you today. Like you, there's things in your heart you want to do that you haven't been able to do, and the key is the Holy Spirit inside of you. And Jesus has already put him there. Now, you've heard it. You need to believe it. And when you believe it, the miracles will start happening. So, yeah, we're good. Thank you. Let's just wait on the Holy Spirit a second. Now, he's already in you, so we can all hear him. So I just want you to ask the Lord in your heart. Ask him a personal question. Ask the Lord, Jesus, do I need help? You ask him that question. See, it's not embarrassing. It's not bad. We all need help. You see, you weren't born bad. You were just born weak and in bondage. We need him. You need him. I need him. So this morning, we're going to stand up and we're going to have a time. We've got a couple of teams of people. Because the Colossians, what Paul said, he said, guys, you heard about the grace of God. You heard the good news. You heard the gospel. But then you believed it. You see, a lot of us, we hear and we hear and we hear and we hear. Some of us, it takes a long time to get here. That's okay. Jesus will help you. So this morning, if you need help in your life and you keep running into the wall and you keep trying and don't making it, don't give up. He's the one that will give you the will to not give up. And then he'll give you the power. And it's all him. This morning, you just need what Jesus has already done. This morning, these guys, these two teams, they'd love to hear your story. They'd love to pray with you. And they'll stay here until you experience what you believe, even if it takes 8 years. That was a joke. Okay, so Father, we just thank you. God, I thank you that you wrote the best-selling book ever and that it is true. And God, I thank you that you're the source, you're the answer to every problem, to every need, to every weakness, just to every reality in our lives, God. You're the answer to it all. I just thank you, King. Jesus loves you, and he's waiting for you. Amen. So thank you guys for being here. Greet each other. Love each other. Blessings.